Good morning and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims with us this morning for an update. And what an update we've got for you today. Lots of new information on the East Texas Human Needs Network from the Network Weaver, Christina Folsom. Good morning, Christina. Great to have you with us.
Good morning, John. Thank you.
Don't forget, In Focus is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/audio and scroll down to In Focus, or check the page for the iTunes link. In Focus is uploaded to our website early in the morning, the day after the show airs. East Texas Human Needs Network, we've kept up with this pretty well over the years. We've done several In Focus shows on the East Texas Human Needs Network since you started up in August 2012. And my usual disclaimer, I am a member of the East Texas Human Needs Network and a proud one, even if I am not able to get to every meeting. So with that out of the way, let's move forward. Important information to talk about today. First of all, you're now kind of going by the name of Ethan, using the ETHN acronym and calling it Ethan, a little bit better way to kind of get people engaged in what you're doing.
That's right. Ethan is just simply easier to remember. ETHNN, or East Texas Human Needs Network, is quite a mouthful. But what's interesting is that Ethan came about speaking to someone at the United Way in Nacogdoches who was reaching out to us to see how they could implement similar processes or a similar program there. And they kept referring to Ethan, and I said, What are you talking about? And she said, oh, we call your organization Ethan. So we decided to adopt it. It started in Nacogdoches, not here.
That's funny. Somebody 78 miles away came up with a new brand for the group. Very interesting, which gets into another area of the reach of your group that we're going to talk about today. Before we get too far into our little chit-chat, what is the East Texas Human Needs Network, or Ethan? Give us a little recap about the purpose, how it started, mission, history, all of that.
Well, it started because, poverty continues to increase. And looking at data, it's sort of that description of the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So we have many wonderful organizations in this community, and we have a lot of programs of assistance through the federal government. And yet the numbers of people falling into poverty continue to increase. And most people are surprised by that, and they see all this growth, especially in East Texas. Again, they're surprised that poverty continues to increase. And so what we did is we decided we needed to bring all of the nonprofits together. We needed to do research together, come up with a common goal, common agenda, which is to help others, and then establish goals based on that research, based on data-driven needs in our community. So that's what we've been doing. About 60 members now, individuals and nonprofits, government and business, are all members of Ethan.
And just to kind of put it in maybe capsule or thumbnail form, filling gaps in the system. There are so many different nonprofits, and sometimes people get shunted from one to another. Historically, for as long as I've lived in Tyler, going back to the early days when I was involved with another group similar to this, but with a different mission and a different structure, there's been not the best communication amongst the different agencies. And you're seeing that improve now?
Yes, we've seen tremendous improvement. And you're right, that has been the issue. Is most nonprofits are really running on starvation mode. They have just enough employees, just enough funds, just enough time to stay focused on their own work, let alone what other organizations are doing. But by not having that knowledge and those relationships with other organizations, they're simply failing to serve the client that comes in and has needs that are above and beyond what they can provide.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of resources in our community. There are some gaps, but these are not gaps for which we may need to establish new programs per se. It may just be starting new connections between programs that will really meet the needs of those individuals in our community.
So you've grown. You've got about 60 members now. The last meeting that I went to, which was just very recently, the room was packed. And of course, we go into breakout sessions. I'm going to warn everybody, and I say that a bit tongue-in-cheek, but it needs to be taken kind of seriously. If you're going to come to an East Texas Human Needs Network or Ethan meeting or become involved with the group, you better be ready to work. You go in there and some brief introductions, and for the next hour and a half or 2 hours, it's work. We're really communicating with each other on a number of different fronts. It's not just a bunch of people having tea and crumpets and talking about social services. It's a very purpose-driven organization, and I can say that from my own experience. One of the things that we want to talk about right now, and we alluded to it a few minutes ago, is that very growth. The last time we talked on this show, which was maybe a year ago, I think there were 50 or so members. It's up around 60 now, and we're getting out of town. Initially, I think the vision was for it to be an East Texas network, but it was based in Smith County, and now Athens, Jacksonville, Longview, Nacogdoches, people from those communities are starting to buy in. Tell us a little bit about how that has happened, and the way you put it, you tell me that it's a matter of the organization growing organically under its own power, just giving people the option of buying in when they think it's a good time for them to buy in.
Exactly. And we're not marketing to organizations throughout Smith County. It really is about word of mouth and that being shared across all of East Texas. Many of our members are organizations that have a much wider coverage area. You know, they cover huge areas of Texas and East Texas. And so we've always had some touch in other areas outside of Smith County, mm-hmm. but we now actually have organizations who are learning about us, who are taking advantage of some of the resources that we've posted on our own website. They've come to our Cost of Poverty conference. They've attended some of our poverty simulations. And in doing so, have become quite active and are spreading that information within their own communities outside of Smith County.
Mm-hmm. And I believe you told me Longview is looking at possibly starting another group similar to this that will be based in Longview while continuing to network with the group that's based in Tyler.
That's correct. The housing consortium in Longview is made up of many organizations.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went and presented to them not long ago, I asked, how many of you focus on education or employment or health care or transportation? And very few hands were raised. And yet we all know that for someone, in this case, experiencing homelessness or issues of housing, they must have an education and employment and health care and transportation to be stable. So they were excited about bringing in other partners and actually becoming something very similar to Ethan, if not actually an Ethan branch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it started in Tyler, and it is growing. It's growing under its own power, and the good Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise. Maybe in a few years we'll see something that really does cover the entire region.
Yes.
And it looks like the prospects are pretty good for that right now. Talking to Christina Folsom, network weaver of Ethan, the East Texas Human Needs Network. I'll give out some information here quickly. 4910 High Tech Drive is your physical address. Tyler, Texas, 757-703. If you want to give Christina a call, it's 903-216, and the last number in that phone...
3211.
3211. Okay. Either my machine didn't work or it was the operator error, which is probably the case. 903-216-3211. www.ethnn.org. And I will tell you, I say this practically every week on this show, but there really is a lot of very useful, very interesting information on that website. So I encourage you to check that out. Let's talk about how what you do is structured, and we'll start off with something known as the Bridges Community. That is one of your key concepts, maybe your key concept right now. Under that umbrella, you have poverty simulations, Bridges Out of Poverty, and something relatively new called Getting Ahead. Now, let's start off, Christina, if you would. Tell us what you mean by a Bridges Community. What's the concept and the purpose behind that?
Bridges Community is a learning community. You know, the more we know, the more we understand about each other, about different economic classes, poverty, middle class, and wealth, the more respectful we can be of each other's decisions and ways in which we each live. And we have very distinct cultures in different economic classes. And so the more we know each other, the more inclusive we are and respectful we are of each other, ultimately, the more likely we are to be successful as we work to move an entire community out of poverty.
Mm-hmm. So basically, you have a lot of people on all levels, of all stripes, coming in. And of course, we all look at things from our own perspective. And all too often, I'll just be honest about it, we jump to conclusions based on what we know and what our comfort zones are. And Bridges Community is a way of drawing us, all of us, the entire community, out of that model, I think.
Just learning, just a greater understanding, and understanding that poverty is not always someone's fault or someone has done something wrong and it's the reason they live in poverty, that there are many resources that that cause and maintain people in poverty, and it's not just about money.
Mm-hmm. It isn't just about money. Let's explain that really quickly. We think of poverty as being financially poor. Let's go a little bit beyond that again, as I think we've done in the past, and refresh everybody's memory on what you mean by poverty is not just about being poor as we normally think of it.
Right. There are many resources that one needs in order to be stable, and those resources are cognitive, right? Do we not only have the ability to learn and apply that knowledge, but do we have opportunities to learn? Are we, you know, do we have access to education? Do we have the ability to address stress in very productive ways as opposed to hindering ourselves? Many people living in poverty suffer from depression. 31%, in fact, of the people that we interview mm-hmm. suffer from depression. And anyone who's ever been under a lot of stress or depressed knows that it's very, very difficult to make decisions and to plan for a future when you're trying to make it through the day. It's also about having a social network. Let's say if something were to happen to me and I lost my income, I know that I have friends and I have family that I can lean on for short periods of time and that I can get back on my feet. Often people who are living in poverty don't have those sorts of social contacts that can help them get out of poverty. So there's a myriad of reasons why people are not stable, and I think money is really a side effect of all of those others as opposed to what we tend to focus on is poverty.
I think we just got a 3 or 4 minute crash course in Bridges Community.
Yes.
That really kind of, I think, lays the groundwork for what people are going to see and do and learn when they get into some of the activities that you have. And the first of those we're going to talk about is poverty simulations. This goes back a ways. It's based on something called the Missouri model. That's where it originated. DHS picked it up in East Texas a number of years ago. It got filtered through leadership, Tyler, actually, when I was involved with Human Needs for Services in that group, and now it's been adopted by Ethan. And tell us what poverty simulations are and how Ethan is using those to get the word out and promote awareness.
Well, I was also very fortunate to have learned about poverty simulations when I was going through Leadership Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time I went through it, although I had been in this nonprofit sector of poverty alleviation for many years. So once I learned about that and I saw the tremendous impact that it can have on someone in just 3 hours' time, just how you can feel that sense, that fear and that frustration and that sadness that comes along with day in and day out stressors of poverty. It is a simulation, but it is truly an impactful experience that takes just three and a half hours. We will be, Ethan is actually will now be from this point forward the provider of poverty simulations for Leadership Tyler and for others in our community. We've been fortunate to be able to have poverty simulations at TJC and at UT Tyler and Tyler Independent School District. We're getting ready to do one for White House Independent School District, and soon thereafter we'll be working again with Leadership Tyler. It's an experience that we want anyone in social services to go through, whether they think they understand poverty or not, because they've been addressing the issue for a while. We all learn tremendously from that. And then volunteers and boards of directors, anyone who really wants to have a better grasp, I think should participate in a poverty simulation.
Mm-hmm. And you can work with individual groups, or I don't know if we should say individuals, but you're mainly working with groups, school districts, companies. They basically, I guess, need to get in touch with you and get something scheduled. Is that how it works?
That's correct. The responsibility of the host is that they have a minimum of 60 participants, 60 to 88 participants is what we need. And then Ethan provides 25 well-trained volunteers, an entire curriculum, and the facilitation and the training that goes along with it.
Mm-hmm. And as I understand it, you're going to go in there and you're going to be playing a role that you may or not play in real life. If you are a corporate head, maybe you'll suddenly find yourself in the role of someone who is on food stamps or having to check in with a Salvation Army or PATH on a regular basis just to take care of your daily needs. You're going to be playing a role. Chances are good that you're going to be playing a role in the poverty simulation that you do not play in everyday life. And that's where the eye-opener aspect comes in.
Exactly. Even when I went into the poverty simulation all those years ago thinking, well, I'm in the nonprofit sector, I'll do well. And, you know, it's simulated 4 weeks, essentially. That's what the simulation is, 4 distinct weeks. And there were 2 weeks in which I was not able to get food for my family. I was not able to pay my utility bill that month. I struggled to keep my job, and I was fortunate not to have been evicted. And all of those struggles happened in a short period of time. I thought I knew what I was doing, and even yet I was ill-prepared to go through that experience.
Very interesting. More information at ethnn.org is the website, 903-216-3211. The phone number, physical address, 4910 High Tech Drive, Tyler, Texas, 75703. Before I forget, let's talk about when and where the meetings are held. They're once a month.
They are once a month. They're the second Monday of each month between 1 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they are held at the Salvation Army in Tyler, which is on 633 North Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
So second Monday, 1 to 3 o'clock at the Salvation Army.
And we'll mention this again later in the show, maybe two or three times. Everybody is welcome. If what we're talking about this morning interests you, come on and be a part of it. Nonprofits, companies, individuals, churches, other houses of worship, those are really, really important because of the services they provide, the different ministries that houses of worship have. And we've seen a lot of that, and certainly we want to emphasize that that's an important component of what's being done through Ethan. Just got done talking about poverty simulations. Now, this is something that's developed over, the last year and a half or so, something called Bridges Out of Poverty. My brief experience with that was very interesting. It made me want to learn more. I'm going to have to continue working on that on an individual level, but tell us about Bridges Out of Poverty and how that works and what people are going to learn through that program.
Dr. Ruby Payne, many years ago, wrote a book called Framework for Understanding Poverty. She was an educator, and those principles have been applied in sort of K through 12 settings throughout the nation and even in other countries, Framework for Understanding Poverty. Phil Duvall and Terry Drucy Smith took that material and adapted it to be able to work not just with children, as the other program had been, but to work with adults. To work with adults living in poverty, to work with adults in middle class and in wealth, to understand all of those same concepts that we spoke about briefly a minute ago about the different economic classes. And so there are intersections of race and ethnicity and gender and age and disability, but truly there are ways of looking at our society through our economic classes. And there are differences. There are differences that we tend to see judgmentally because we simply don't understand why decisions are being made that are different than what we would have made. And this is a way of understanding that.
And that is Bridges Out of Poverty. Is that also scheduled on the same basis as needed? Give Christina a call and get something set up with your group?
Absolutely. It is a workshop. It is a full-day workshop to understand those principles. And then we can take it further and do a second-day workshop for those who are interested and be able to take those constructs and those principles and apply them directly to the way in which you operate. So if you run a nonprofit, if you run a business, if you interact with people in poverty on a regular basis, you can take these concepts and look at your own standard operating procedures, the way you greet someone when they first come in the door, the way you allow services or don't allow services, and apply these concepts and make seemingly minor changes that will both help the individual seeking your service or assistance and help your organization prosper.
Talking with Christina Folsom, Network Weaver of Ethan, the East Texas Human Needs Network. I'm John Sims. This is our weekly In Focus show. And 4910 High Tech Drive, the address of East Texas Human Needs Network. That's Tyler 75703. Phone number is 903-216-3211. And lots more information about everything we're going to be talking about today at ethnn.org. Let's continue talking about the Bridges community. And now we're into something, I guess, your newest component called Getting Ahead.
That's correct. Getting Ahead is using that same knowledge, that same framework for understanding poverty, but actually working with individuals who are living in poverty and who are transitioning out of poverty. So it's the same information that we're teaching middle class and wealth, but we are offering it in a 16-week workshop for individuals living in poverty so that they can see all of these concepts more abstractly rather than concretely and be able to apply some changes. Individual behavior is a part of poverty. There's no doubt about it. It's not the only reason people are poor, but certainly individual behavior is a way of getting out. And understanding that there are hidden rules in different economic classes, that what's important to people in middle class is accomplishments. What's important to people who live in poverty is relationships. Mm. And so there are very distinct reasons why we do what we do. People in poverty need to understand that just as well as the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. The people that take this course or do this workshop, are they handpicked? Do their social workers recommend them? How are they recruited, for lack of a better word?
It is offered to them through congregations and through social services agencies. So people will learn about it in many different ways. But no, it is a self-selection. It is something that you look at and you decide, I am ready for this. I'm committed to this and I'm going to tackle it. So it is not something that is imposed on anyone. It really needs to be their choice to participate. There is a lot of research to show how people's lives change significantly, dramatically, in short periods of time after having gone through this 16-week program.
I want to pull something right off your website, and this is from, it's right there, it's for everybody in the world to see who has internet access, from someone named Tavania Hodges. She names herself as a college student. The things I've learned in this course are not everyday lessons. They're not common sense. The average person has no idea about the world we live in, and I'm quoting here from Ms. Hodges. Now I am teaching my children so they don't experience what I went through, and from there we just begin to get a little bit of an idea of where this person is coming from, how she ended up in the class. She lists herself as a college student, and which is very interesting, but obviously she has a background that's very much worth sharing with the public. She continues, once you know, and you can never see the world the same way again. That's a pretty good pitch for getting ahead.
Isn't
right
that
there.
Wonderful? Yeah. Once you know, and you can never see the world the same way again. Mm-hmm. That's powerful.
Yeah, it is. I agree. We want to get into things like your need for volunteers and nonprofit status, but there were a couple of other little housekeeping things I wanted to mention here. We are always encouraging people to join, Ethan, but here's a bit of a note that I find relevant. If you're new to the Human Needs Network, you're recommending that folks attend the ETHNN 101 class.
Yes, it is. It is a class that I teach. It's usually the first Friday of each month, so right before we have our Ethan meeting. The Ethan 101 class is simply a history of who we are, why we were formed, what we do, what research we've done, and the work that we are trying to achieve together. And I think it's important for people to take the time and come to that class before coming to the first meeting, because I think they will be overwhelmed if they come to the first meeting. They won't know what to do next.
Especially as far as we've come after 3 years.
Absolutely. You know, we break out into different councils on employment, on education, healthcare, housing, and transportation. And so if you come into a meeting not knowing that that's what we do, and that we have research and that we have top needs within each of those councils that we're working towards, you will not only feel a little lost, but I think what has happened in the past is because we have new people come to every meeting, it slows down our progress. We want everyone there. Without a doubt, we want them there. But they're so busy trying to figure out and asking questions that it's difficult for those councils to move forward where they left off the month before. So we've decided we really need an education outside of the meeting time because meeting time truly is about working and moving forward.
Okay. They can call you 216-3211 with the old 903 in front of it. Can they register for an ETH-NN101 class online?
They can. Okay. On the homepage, they'll see that ETHN101 logo. Good. And just click on it to register.
Good. ETHNN.org is the website. And you alluded to this a moment ago. I'll hit it again. The different committees, education, employment, healthcare, housing, and transportation. In a way, it seems funny that there are only five committees for such a big set of projects, but those categories cover a lot of ground.
They certainly do. And you know, even within those, there are little sort of subsets.
Yeah, right.
Child care being one of them, for example. So, yeah, there's a lot covered.
Okay. Nonprofit status. Just talk about that for briefly, if you would.
We just became a nonprofit. We applied for it at the end of last year, and a couple of months ago received the nonprofit status.
Okay. 501c3?
501c3, okay. Which means that we can now accept charitable contributions. It's something that I wasn't sure we wanted to do when we first started. I have a great steering council and a board who all said the work that we are doing at Ethan is really unique. It's different. It's not the work that our members are doing. It's not direct client services. It really is about bringing them together and helping them and guide them and pushing them all forward, moving in the same direction. And because of that, and the fact that we're growing tremendously means that we're only going to go as fast as I can go and as fast as my council can go, which means we will slow down. And there's no room for that. We have a lot of work to do. So becoming a nonprofit will allow us to get some assistance in-house, to be able to support the work that all of these great organizations are doing.
All righty, and you need volunteers, and I think we're talking about volunteers as opposed to just participants, people to kind of help take the load off you. You really kind of got this whole thing rolling, and I've noticed your volunteer corps growing in, I guess, fairly small degrees over the last 3 years, but you do need people to really kind of get in there and roll up their sleeves.
One of the biggest components for which we need volunteers are the poverty simulations.
Okay.
You know, those poverty simulations require 25 volunteers each time we conduct one, and each one of those volunteers is playing a distinct role, like a landlord or a pawnbroker or a teacher or a police officer. Mm-hmm. And those individuals need training, and so I'm hoping to get a pool of volunteers that can go through the training for specific roles for poverty simulations. And so as we conduct those poverty simulations once a month, that I would have a pool of volunteers that are trained that I can draw from.
Very good. 903-216-3211 if you want to volunteer or just learn anything or get involved. www.ethnn.org and the physical address, in case you need to know, 4910 High Tech Drive, Tyler, Texas, 75703. And I'm going to go ahead and put in another little plug here for the ETHNN 101 class. If you're getting involved for the first time, especially since we just got done talking about volunteers, ETHNN 101 is strongly recommended if you're a newbie in the activities of the East Texas Human Needs Network. Getting down close to the end of the show, Christina, and what lies ahead? The last couple of Decembers, if I'm not mistaken, you've done something that you're now calling the ETHNN, or Ethan, Cost of Poverty Conference. And what happens to that conference, and are you planning another one this year?
We are planning another one this year. It will be in December. We don't have the date yet, usually the second week in December. The Cost of Poverty Conference is designed to bring people in to learn about poverty, again, the same principles that we're teaching through Bridges, but it's a full day conference. You get to learn quite a bit. You get to meet and interact with lots of people in the community who are interested in the same field. We share data about poverty in our community, about programs in our community, about initiatives that are in place and collaboratives that are in place, and how anyone can engage. So it's very insightful. I think it's a great education session for anyone who wants to learn, but it's also a great way of learning about each other, the services in the community, and how one can engage.
Mm-hmm. There is so much need out there as we get ready to wrap up the show, and so many things that you can do not to make the problem go away overnight. No, no, no. But to do your part to make a difference. And it's the East Texas Human Needs Network, or EATHN, meeting times second Monday. I think in October it's going to be different because of Columbus Day.
Probably.
Yeah, yep. Right. But we don't want to look too far down the road. Generally, the second Monday. You can get all the information on the website, ethnn.org, 1 to 3 at the Salvation Army on North Broadway. Christina Folsom, Network Weaver of the East Texas Human Needs Network, or EATHN, E-T-H-N-N, has been our guest this morning on In Focus. And Christina, just again, thanks so much for joining us today. ethnn.org is the website. 903-216-3211 is the phone number if you want to make contact. But thanks again for coming in, and keep doing the great things you're doing.
Thank you, John, very much for giving me this opportunity.
You bet. Christina Folsom, East Texas Human Needs Network, our guest. I'm John Sims. Thanks for joining us. See you again next week on In Focus.